This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Monday, January 4th, 2010. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Happy New Year, everybody. My name is Bo Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for this program. Ryan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Bo.
Do you have any resolutions this year?
I do. My New Year's resolution is to completely eliminate filler words.
How's that working out for you?
So far, so good.
All right. Yeah.
How about you, Bo? New Year's resolution?
Yeah, my New Year's resolution is to drive past the gym at least twice a week. All right, well, let's move on to our interview. Who are we speaking with?
Bo and I are speaking with Kathy S. Berger today. Kathy is a freelance writer living in Los Alamitos, California. She has written several articles for the Toastmaster magazine, including in the December 2009 edition. She wrote an article entitled Delivering Bad Business News, which is our topic of discussion today. Kathy, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thanks. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. Kathy, I want to start off by kind of getting a common base of knowledge established both for us as well as our listeners. In your article, you talk about the four elements of effective delivery of bad business news. And I was hoping you could set the stage for us by just briefly mentioning those four elements.
The outline that I mentioned in the article starts with, first of all, a neutral beginning, immediate delivery of the bad news, impact on the client or the listener, the audience. The fourth piece would be the supporting details and facts, including what's next.
Okay, fantastic. And do you want to just touch on each of those real briefly?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I think the real value comes with the first element, the neutral beginning. Some people call that a buffer. It's a sentence, a single statement usually, that both the speaker and the audience immediately accept as true. So it gets everyone on the same page.
Okay.
The second element is the bad news. My recommendation, again, is that also be brief, one sentence if possible, but very clearly stating, this is what I need to tell you. The third element, what I call the impact, should really include the word you as much as possible, because after the person hears the bad news, that's what they want to know next. How will this affect me? So the third element is the most direct answer to that question, what it means to you. The fourth element is the supporting details, the facts. Sometimes they explain how we got into the situation that is being announced as the bad news. Many times it really takes us to the next step. What do we do now? What can we look forward to? It explains everything about how we got where we are and where we're moving.
And I could see that first part, being on the neutral ground or establishing that neutral ground, you don't want to drag that out too much, because I think that the audience would see some bad news coming and it would make people uncomfortable and not listening to what you're actually saying. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's there to, first of all, to get them to listen, to get some consensus about there are several things we have in common. We're not automatically adversaries, but now we're going to move on and get to that bad news as soon as possible.
Okay.
And once we do get to the bad news, just to recap what you said here, you want to keep that bad news just to one sentence and not repeat it. Why such a brevity when the bad news, I would think most people would look at that as sort of the crux of the communication. So why does that need to be addressed so quickly and then moved off of immediately?
There are a few reasons. One, the bad news is usually painful. And even with physical pain, we like that to be as short as possible. You know that from being in the dentist's office or being in the physician's office or facing that nurse with a really long injection needle. So keep that pain as brief as possible. The second reason we want to keep it short and try to avoid repeating is that when we repeat, we usually restate. And when we restate, we sometimes create problems for ourselves. We might introduce some inconsistencies. We might start to say things that are inappropriate. We might inadvertently start to say things that are insensitive or disconcerting to the audience. So sometimes we end up making things worse the more we try to drag it out.
Gotcha.
So if the person delivering the news just focuses on, I'm going to hit my one-liner with the bad news, and then I'm going to move immediately to the future and how we're going to move forward, how this is going to affect people, it gets them out of that trap of starting to say things that are going to cause a self-destructive message.
Yeah, I think when people feel they need to repeat the bad news, they're often doing it out of some obvious discomfort. But in trying to soften the blow, they end up using inconsistent language and sometimes even confusing the listener.
Right.
So it's better to be clear and brief.
I found it interesting in the article you mentioned that you should stay away from negative terms like unfortunately, mistake, misunderstanding. The kind of terms that many people would throw into some bad news, like, well, I have some bad news. Unfortunately, we're going to have to close the plant or something like that. And you mentioned that you should stay away from those. Why is that?
Well, there are a number of reasons. Sometimes, first of all, I'll say that people will pick up on those words. You've probably been in situations when someone started a sentence and halfway through that you use the word but or however, mm-hmm. and you're immediately realizing you're tensing up. You know something negative is going to come. If that sentence is delivered without the but or however, that tension is not automatically brought to the table. That's one reason. Another reason I would advise against using unfortunately or becoming too apologetic in many situations is that if the news is really bad news, it may draw out the cynicism of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people may literally think things like, well, if you're so sorry, how did we get in this situation?
Right.
If you're so sorry, why did you make that decision? You don't want to invite that sort of response.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I can see that in the example of a manager addressing employees, which, by the way, most of the examples in the articles seem to be that situation of a manager who's delivering bad news to their employees. But I wonder if you would tweak the advice at all if it was an executive delivering some bad news to a client. Maybe it's a critical target that is not going to be met. In that case, would it be appropriate to use terms like unfortunately to show that you're taking some responsibility, you're showing some regret and remorse for something that was truly your mistake?
It might be. I want to make a few points about your question. First of all, that notion of tweaking the outline probably applies in just about every situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to take a generic and short. Please tweak it. Please use your judgment. Likewise, I think that there are some situations and even some individuals, because of their own style and the relationships that have been built, may be able to use unfortunately, and it works out just fine. In terms of tweaking this for an executive, there might be times when you could get away with using unfortunately. What the executive needs to be aware of in that situation is avoiding any sort of apology that could apply responsibility or liability that you don't want to get into yet because of legal implications. That's a whole other level of communication and problem. I can go back to the outline, though, and answer your broader question about using this to deliver bad news to a customer. Again, I would tweak it. In that case, the neutral beginning might be along the lines of the significance or the importance of the work they're doing. The neutral beginning might even start out with the original plan. The program schedule, for example, originally called for delivery on February 15th. Again, mm-hmm. something that all parties could agree to. The bad news, again, I recommend keeping it brief and clear. The third part, what can the customer expect next? And in this case, the supporting details probably should include some analysis of how we got into that situation, as well as what we're doing now and why what we're doing now is going to work.
Gotcha.
Very good.
Kathy, are you ready for a challenge?
I am.
Okay. Ryan mentioned before that a lot of this in the article is all about the corporate or the executives. What about, let's create a situation for Toastmasters, for people in your Toastmasters club. I was trying to think of a situation that in the club you'd have to deliver bad news, and I kept on coming up with news that really wasn't that bad, like we're going to cancel a meeting or someone's speaking a little bit longer than they expected. But what about raising club dues? I think that's a pretty good one. If the club officers decide that they have to raise club dues, how would that news be delivered? So pretend Ryan and I are in the club, and you are the president, and you decided that the club dues have to be raised. Go.
I would – you are funny. I would start by making some reference in general – to the uncertain economic times that we are all facing. We've seen prices rise at the gas station, in the supermarket, in our monthly utility bills.
Okay, so right there you're establishing the common ground, you're giving us information, you're telling us something that we could easily agree on because we all
right.
experience it.
All right. And that we probably all know.
Sure.
I would then say, Toastmaster dues will now be whatever amount starting in January.
Whatever amount? Does that mean that we get to make up the amount?
The wise guy.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to say something that would be outrageous for the example.
Gotcha. We understand.
But you would clearly come up with the number.
Right.
Toastmaster dues will be increased to this beginning in January.
Okay.
How does that affect you? I would probably be saying you'll be asked to pay this amount. I don't know if it's going to increase so much that we're going to allow a different kind of a payment plan. I would probably at that point start to say what is still covered by that, what the benefits of paying that are, and so forth.
Okay. And that's step number three.
And then for supporting details and facts, I would probably say that this is the result of a four-month analysis of what expenses were and what expenses are projected to be in the coming year. So I would try to give some information that says, you know, we didn't just come up with this off the top of our heads. Mm-hmm. We looked at it long and hard. I might, if I could, share some numbers that would indicate, for example, if we didn't make this increase, we would be in debt. Mm-hmm. And if I could, again, say, offer anything about benefits or if it's possible there would be something new included with this benefit, that would be how I would end.
Gotcha. So you probably wouldn't say, I got some good news and bad news. Bad news is we're raising your dues. The good news is I just got my DTM.
Yeah, right.
As you end in your article, leave the joke book at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kathy, I want to ask you about...
Ryan, before you ask the question, Ryan, how do you feel as a member of the club that you just delivered that news to? Are you okay with it?
I'm persuaded that this was a necessary measure.
As am I. Kathy,
yeah.
Excellent job. You
well done,
us.
Kathy.
You saved two members. All right, continue.
Sure. So, Kathy, what I want to ask you about is when you're the person called to deliver the bad news and you're really upset about it yourself, and perhaps you realize you're going to be going into the lion's den to deliver this news to a pit of angry vipers, if you will, what are some things that you can do to steel your nerves, to calm your emotions and deliver this in such a way that you're not looking like an emotional basket case in your delivery?
That's a very good question, and I think that any person needs to take the adequate time to prepare. And if that's just 5 more minutes to take the deep breaths, one of the things that I tell myself is, this is my job. My job right now is to deliver this information clearly and calmly. The information is needed. This is my job. And I'll sometimes want to remind myself that I can't control the reactions of the other people, but my job is to deliver the information clearly and calmly. And that works. That helps me. It may or may not help you. I really don't have any magic wands. But I am going to tell you about some other things that I have done, because I have gone into the lion's den. I'll tell you a little bit about that situation in a few minutes. But I'm going to start by saying, if you are talking with a very small group, 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4 people, it is often effective to let that person express his anger or his emotion. If they do that, what you want to remember as the deliverer is that your job is simply to listen. Mm-hmm. It is not to react. It is not to defend. It is not to get too caught up in the emotion of it. That listening in itself is a form of caring, allowing that person to say what they need to.
Mm-hmm.
In some situations, you may be able to acknowledge that the person has said their feelings. You may be able to restate that. But in every case, what you want to do after they've vented is to turn the discussion back to what is next. Simply
right.
saying, why we're here today is, or our next step is. But now I want to tell you about an experience I had about 2 years ago and the powerful lesson I learned from it. I was in a situation where I had to deal with groups of 20 or 30 people at a time who were losing their jobs because the company was relocating. I had to go in and give them some additional information and did not realize for my first 2 sessions that I was the first representative of the company face-to-face with these angry, upset people.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my word. So this was the lion's den for me, and I will tell you, it was painful. I was having some trouble gaining control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I was becoming upset because of my own difficulties in that. Somewhere along the line, I think by the 3rd or 4th meeting, I learned to start by saying, I know some of you are very angry. Some of you probably resent these decisions. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you feel betrayed. And what I was actually doing was repeating things that had already been said to me in the first 2 meetings, or repeating things that I had heard in the hallway,
right.
or even just projecting how I might feel. I cannot describe to you the power that those words had in taking away the mob effect. They were almost calming to these people. And from the time I started doing that on, I no longer had the angry participants standing, yelling, expressing their own anger and venting. Somehow, the idea that they were listening to a person who understood made all of that go away.
Wow.
Wow. So powerful.
Well, Kathy, you may not have a magic wand for calming nerves, but you've got the secret sauce for taming the lions. So you definitely get credit for that. That's fantastic.
Nice work.
Kathy, this is some fantastic information. We really appreciate you taking the time to share it with us today.
I enjoyed it. Anything else?
Do you have any more bad news to give us?
No. I enjoyed talking to you. That was good news.
Great.
right. Fantastic. Well, the good news is that this was a wonderful interview.
The bad news is I forgot to hit the record button.
We got to do it all over again.
The good news is I'm just kidding. All right, Kathy, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, that will do it for this Toastmasters podcast episode. If you do have any listener feedback, we would love to hear from you. Ryan, how can they get in touch with us?
You could call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. You can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast, or post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com.
Sounds great. For this week, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
We'll see you next week, folks. Bye-bye. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.